Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord this Sunday afternoon? Listen, so good to see you. I love you guys. God loves you, and His presence is definitely is in this building. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God? We're in a series called What Would Jesus Teach? And the first thing that Jesus taught on the mountain that's recorded for us is called the Sermon on the Mountain, and it was Beatitude. Okay? This is a series that we're teaching in the last few months about what a Christian, what a believer should look like. This series is about sanctification, okay? I used that example that if you don't take a shower for a week, if you don't change your clothes for a while, what happens to you? You smell bad, right? And people don't want to be around you, right? Have you ever had somebody you stand next to and they smelled and you couldn't get away? Or maybe you worked with somebody who smelled bad. You know, that's what happens to our attitude. When we are not transformed by the Word of God, Christians start to smell spiritually. You have a bad attitude, you're nasty, you're mean, and you're ugly. No, I'm just kidding. So something begins to happen to us, and I do believe sin makes us ugly. Sin just transforms us into this weird thing. And as we come closer to God, God makes everything what? Beautiful in its time. Amen? So God makes beautiful, Satan makes everything ugly and dark and depressed and things like that. So these series are not about how you become a Christian. It's what happens after you have become a Christian. It's about sanctification. Does anybody know what sanctification means? Okay. Another word I could use, and it's not a correct word, purification. It's like you take a glass of muddy water, and then you take it through a process of purification, and then on the other side, it's so good you're ready to drink it because it's so clear. That's what happens with us. God takes us from the mud. God takes us from dirt. Remember, I had an example on Christmas Eve about gold being dug out, and it doesn't look very shiny at first, but then you take it through the process of purification, and it looks good. Right? Same thing with God. He takes us from the dirt. That's where He found me, and that's where He found you. Nobody was perfect. We were all smelly and stinky, right? But He takes us and purifies us, and then He shows us and says, this is my son. This is my daughter. And if you're a Christian, but you're not going through this transformation process, you got to check, are you a Christian? Or are you just churchgoer? Or are you just a religious person? Amen? God wants us to be true Christians. Not just by words, but by our attitudes. That's why Jesus says, be attitudes. Amen? So today, we're going to do part two on blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. Let's put that scripture on the screen, guys. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Today I want to answer two questions. One, how do I become a peacemaker? Right? We know why. Last week we talked about why should I be a peacemaker? Because our God is a peacemaker. Because Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Right? Angels, when they came to earth to announce the birth of Jesus, they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus is a Prince of Peace, and if we want to see Him, if we want to be called the sons of God, we have to be like Him. That's what God does. He takes us from the dirt and transforms us into the image of His Son, Jesus. That's what God wants to do with you. And listen, I'm not saying that process is easy. It's not something you shout about, yeah, God is going to purify me, because your flesh does not like it. It's easy to say in Christian circles, we got to be selfless. But when we go home, that's when it's not very attractive. It's attractive in public to say you're not proud. But when you're faced with His way or your way, it's really hard to follow this. Amen. The only way we do this is by the power of the Holy Spirit. We say, God, I need your power to help me be a peacemaker, to be pure in heart, to be meek. And other seven things that are in this scripture. So the first question is, how do I become a peacemaker? And the second question is kind of a hard one. And it's going to feel like I'm going to cross out everything I said before. I answer that question? So you got to be very careful. Now, I believe when you become a Christian, and if you have a low IQ, God can raise that IQ. I really do believe that. Listen to me. So don't say to me something like this: you're too deep, I don't understand this stuff, it's confusing. Listen, it just means you need to study more. Listen to what David says. David says, I'm wiser than my teachers because I study your law. That's it. Listen, some of the most amazing writers in the world were not even educated. Albert Einstein was bad in school, but look what he achieved in the world. So listen, just allow the Word of God. As you spend in this time in His Word, I believe your IQ becomes higher. I really do, because it teaches you a lot of things. These two parts, these two questions are going to fit together, but you got to be careful to listen. Amen? So question number one, how do I become a peacemaker? Now, we need peace everywhere. If you look at our world today, we don't have lots of peace. If you look at our families, it's hard to keep peace for a long period of time between husband and wife, between parents and children. Syria, there's war going on right now. The government is shelling people, and there's hundreds of thousands of refugees are fleeing. We live in a world that does not have much peace. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. So how do you become a peacemaker? Number one, ready for this? To be a peacemaker, you must be a person of peace. How do you become a peacemaker? See, you can try to solve world's problems, but if you have no peace in your heart, you can't bring peace to the world. Peacemakers are people who bring peace because they have it themselves. You want to be a peacemaker? So you shall be called the Son of God? You got to strive for peace. Next question is, how do you strive for peace, right? But before I go into that, if your heart is full of conflict, how can you bring peace to others? Unless through deception, of course. You know, the Bible talks about Antichrist, and this is kind of off my subject, but I just want to touch on that. Bible talks about there's going to become a man, a great politician, and he's going to come with deception, and he's going to try to bring peace into the world where his heart is war. His heart is deception, but he's going to try to bring peace. And he's going to say the right things to people. And the Bible says this, that the whole world will be deceived by him, except the elect. If you are a true believer, you will not be deceived. If you're not, you're going to fall for it. How can you bring peace if you have no peace with God? And that's why human efforts at peace fall short. I mean, we do our best, right? Our politicians do the best. UN does the best they can. But boy, there's so many scandals and conflicts and nothing really is happening. Really, it's bribing. Can you please don't go to war if we pay you this many billions of dollars? Can you please not do this if we give you these planes and tanks for free? And it's like giving tanks and warfare equipment to the country that's at war so they wouldn't have war. So why does conflict seem to follow people around everywhere they go? Have you ever knew a person? Everything they did, everywhere they went, conflict seemed to follow them. And the reason for that is because conflict lives in them. A heart has to be changed in order for you to be a peacemaker. So how do I get peace? Answer, peace in your heart flows from purity in your life. Now, this is going to be a little different message. Less jokes today, okay? Peace in your heart flows from purity in your life. Verse 9 says this, blessed are the peacemakers. But what goes before, what precedes verse 9? Verse 8, right? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A few weeks ago, I talked 3 sermons on what is purity of heart. Can anybody take a stab at what purity of heart is? It's willing one thing. Purity of heart is willing one thing. Why do you have to have a pure heart first in order to have peace? Because purity of heart is what makes you one directional person. I'm going somewhere. Just give me a few moments. I'm trying to open this up. The impure person has a heart that's divided. Divided heart cannot have peace because its desires are contradicting to one another. So you have good and evil inside of you, right? Fighting. See, you think I have a good side of me and I have a bad side of me. Yin and yang, right? And these two parts don't fight with one another. Yes, they do. There's a battle that's happening in our heart as we speak. And God says, in order to be a peacemaker, in order to have peace in your heart, you must will one thing. For example, how many of you know you will not have peace? Usually when we have two decisions to make, right? And we can't make a decision. What happens? We lose peace, right? But as soon as we make a decision, what happens? Peace comes in. Why? Because your heart is made to will one thing. That's why God says double-minded man is a bad man. Will not receive anything from the Lord. When your heart is divided, when your mind is divided, there's a war happening inside of your heart. And that's why you need Prozac. Because there's no peace. And God says, I want you to have one direction. The heart that's divided cannot have peace. Can you love and hate at the same time? No, your heart will be divided. Can you serve God and money? If you do, you will have no peace. You know that Jesus said it is better to be cold or hot. He says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. God doesn't like people living in two worlds. I'm going to live a little bit for the devil, and I'm going to live a little bit for God. God says you will not have peace because you got to will one thing. Either I'm going to serve God 100%. That doesn't mean that I will not make mistakes and fail. But my desire is for God. It's like this. There's two paths, right? Jesus talked about this. There's wide path and there is narrow path. Which path are you walking on? See, one person and both of them are good for a while. Except at the end of the wide path, Bible says there's destruction. It's which path you choose. Both people, let me tell you, people in the wide path and narrow path both stumble. Except one path leads to life, one path leads to destruction. Bible says choose. Life or death, choose blessing or cursing. Who are you going to serve? I've made a decision. I was young, and maybe I didn't know what I was doing, but I said, God, either I'm going to serve you 100%, or I'm going to serve the devil 100%. I'm not going to be in between. And you know what? I'm so glad that he gave me the strength to choose him. And I've been serving him. And listen, serving him will never, ever, ever disappoint. Amen. Somebody needs to say amen. Hallelujah. You have to choose between friendship with the world or fellowship with God. If you do both, you will not have peace. You can't have two opposite beliefs and have peace. You can't believe, say, I'm going to do it God's way, but then go on Monday and do it the world ways. You are not going to have peace. And listen, life without peace, you can have all the riches in the world. You can have all the toys you want, but if you have no peace in your heart, you feel miserable being rich. You feel miserable with all your toys. That's what you got to seek. You got to seek peace with God. And listen, some of you are standing in a decision time. Some of you have been standing here for months and years. You've been kind of going with God, but then you've been going with the world. And you're wondering why you leave church on Sunday and you are not happy. You're not fulfilled. Things are not working out because you're double-minded. The world and God. Make up your mind today, church. I don't know, I just feel strongly in saying, make up your mind who you will serve. And then go after it 100%. Go after it. I want to encourage you to choose God. I want to encourage you to choose God. That's what I'm here for. But listen, God gives you a choice. I know if you choose God, you'll be here next Sunday. If you don't choose God, you will not be here. Unless something happens or you go on vacation. So as long as there is unresolved conflict inside of you, you will never have peace. And in order for you to be a peacemaker, you have to have a heart of peace. Let's open James 4, 1 and 2. James 4, 1 and 2. We'll get there. Yeah, that's it. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Next one, James 1:8. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Isaiah 57:21, my favorite. When I was growing up, used to be my favorite verse. Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace, says God, for the wicked. Wicked are twisted. They're twisted. They're a little bit for God, and they're a little bit for the world. Twisted. There's no peace for the wicked. Peace flows from purity. So the more you pursue purity, and more you will discover and enjoy peace in your heart. Amen. Number two. So point number one was what? To be a peacemaker, you must be a person of peace. Bible says, guard your peace. You know, every day, listen, guys, every day something will come against you to steal your peace. Every day, somebody, it could happen through your wife. It could happen through your husband. It could happen through your children. It could happen through your co-workers. It could happen through the loved ones. God says, guard your peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. And don't be afraid. So it is my responsibility to guard my peace. If I'm going to be a man of peace, I have to guard my peace. Because every day, something will come to steal your peace. I really do believe God wants you to be happy. I really do believe. And all this, Pastor, what are you doing sweating and spitting at us, you know, on Sunday, yelling at us? I'm doing this because I believe that God's word does desire your true happiness. And most of you don't open your Bibles much during the week. So I have to kind of give you lots of scriptures so you can write them down, hopefully, and get some peace and actually enjoy life. I get calls, I get texts. Oh, the church is not helping me. Nothing is really changing in my life. Are you doing what we tell you to do? Are you doing what the Bible tells you to do? You can't just expect to come and hear a pastor and everything is just going to change. You have to do what you hear. Amen. But I do believe God wants our happiness. I really do. And I'm proof, been serving the Lord for about, I don't know, close to 15 years since I gave my life to Him. And boy, there's a big difference between those who do serve God and those who don't. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord. Choose to serve God. Choose to focus, have Him. Seek first the kingdom. One thing I desire and one thing I seek. Paul says this, one thing I do. Amen. Number two, how do we become a peacemaker? Bible says that you should pray for peace. Okay, let's open Psalms 122, 6 through 8. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Let's just stop there. That's it. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls. Prosperity within your places. Amen. Bible says to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, should Christian pray for the peace of Jerusalem? Well, Bible says so. But I think that has a bigger meaning. I think it says pray for the... Jerusalem represents what? The capital of Israel. Israel is where Bible was written. So what it means is pray for the capital of the country that you live. What is our capital? Washington, right? What? Pierre. Okay, it's Pierre. Amen. Amen. So we must pray for the capital, for Washington, for Pierre, for our nation. That's what it means. It means that if you want peace, you got to pray for peace. Why does God say pray for peace of Jerusalem if your prayers don't matter? They do matter. And right now there's so much mess in Washington, D.C. There's so much conflict. And then politicians separate people, make people hate each other. Republicans hate Democrats. Democrats hate Republicans. Then we're divided racially. I mean, things are just, news media inflates things, makes us hate one another. We need to pray for peace of our nation. And that means we have to pray for Washington, D.C. That means we have to pray for Pierre, where the laws are being made. Amen. How do you become a peacemaker? You pray for peace. That doesn't mean just pray for your capital. It means pray for your family. When was the last time I prayed, God, we need peace in our family? We usually don't pray those prayers. What do we pray? God bless us. God this. God please give. Give, Lord. Give, give. Our families are falling apart. Siblings, last week I said, are not talking. Parents, kids, not talking. Fighting, backbiting. I mean, we need prayer for that. You want to be a peacemaker? Put that on your list. Pray for your family. Pray for your co-workers. Pray for that cousin you don't like. Right? Pray for that sister, brother-in-law you don't like. Pray for your mother-in-law, okay? Going deep now. Amen. So you want peace? You want to be a peacemaker? Begin to pray for peace. Hallelujah. People of peace, pray for peace. Pray about peace. talk about peace, and then act to be a peacemaker. Peacemakers go in between. And when they see husband and wife in trouble fighting, they don't say this, it's none of my business. You know, let them kill each other. As long as it doesn't bother me. You see brothers in church are fighting with one another. You see somebody's angry at somebody. Oh, that's cool. Oh, drama in church. Hallelujah. That's the glue of our church is drama. We love just hitting each other in the head. Or somebody comes to you and talks about somebody else. You don't sit there and say, oh, tell me more. Oh, that just like, oh, that feels so good. That gossip feels so good. No, you say, how can we bring this together? How can we make it work? When a wife comes to you, a marriage that's falling apart, talks to you and says, hey, we're in trouble. Don't be there. Oh, yeah. Too bad. Yeah, get a divorce. No, you got to see if you can bring peace. Amen? You got to see if you can do something about it. You got to see if two friends can be reconciled. And if you both are Christians, then there should be no reason for not reconciling. Blessed are the peacemaker. That doesn't mean you might be best friends, because obviously you clash. But listen, sometimes, you know, you become best friends with people you clash at first. Yeah, I had a friend in high school, and he would call me names, and he was kind of a bully. And I was just talking about, I met another high school friend last Saturday, and we were talking about him, and I got in a fight with him. And after we fought, like fist fights, I mean, like black eyes and stuff. After we fought, it's like we gained new respect. And after that, till now, we're in respect. I mean, the guy doesn't call me names anymore. And I don't, you know, hurt him anymore. No, just kidding. You know what I mean? It happens, but not all the time. That's what I'm saying. But just be a peacemaker. Don't make the fire bigger. Try to put the fire down. Try to understand maybe from other points of view. But be a peacemaker. So number two is pray for peace. Number three, love before you are loved in return. This is a hard one. Love before you are loved in return. If you don't love me, I'm not going to love you. No, listen to what the Bible says. But God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait for you to love him to love you. He said, I'm going to love you regardless. How you look at me, how you treat me, how you talk about me, I'm going to love you. So the point number three, to be a peacemaker, love before you are loved in return. Love people. Maybe there's that person that always picks on you. Love them in return and see what God can do. Amen? So those are three points of how to be a peacemaker. What do you guys think? Do we have time for one more question? Second question. Let's go quickly through it. Should peace be made at any cost? That's the second question. Should peace be made at any cost? Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Okay. Now, what if you stood up for what is right, for truth, and you made a person angry, and now he's your enemy? Did you do something that's wrong? Or can you still be a peacemaker? Or are you now a peace breaker? Okay? What if you stood up for something that's right, the truth, and that made somebody angry? Are you still a peacemaker or are you now a peace breaker? Good question, right? Paul says, no, you're not a peace breaker. Listen to this. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all people, with all men. There will be times when peacemaking is impossible. Let's say this. You have an abusive spouse, and they physically abuse you, and you say, I just want to keep the peace. I just want to keep the peace so we don't talk about it. We don't deal with the issue. That's not true peace, people. That's not true peace. Sometimes you have to stand up and say, hey, I'm not going to take this behavior anymore. And that person might get angry, might not like you for a while. Guess what? You're going to have to live with that. Let's say maybe this happens at your work. Maybe your boss is kind of anti-God and says, we're going to raise money for pro-abortion things. How much are you going to give? And you say, if I don't give, that's going to cause conflict between me and the boss. What are you going to do? Well, in that situation, you have to follow your principles. That's why purity of heart will one thing follows by peacemaking. Right? You already decided what you're going to do before you're asked. Amen. So when that decision comes to you, you say, I'm going to follow God. I'm not going to give to that cause. I'm not going to do that. Somebody asks you, you're a Christian, right? What do you think about this homosexual marriage debate in the nation? And you're like, well, I already know what you think with that attitude. And you might want to be, I'm going to keep peace with all costs, right? I just want to be liked by everybody. So I'm going to say, I don't know, or God loves everybody. We're called not to judge. You know, we Christian can come up with a whole bunch of lame excuses. Or you can say, listen, I love everybody, but I'm choosing to believe what Bible says. And I believe Bible talks about a marriage between a man and a woman. That's it. That's my position. Why? Because I already made a decision in the pure heart stage that I'm going to be a kingdom of God man, and I'm not going to be in between. See, everything changes when you make a decision. You don't have to be conflicted. And listen, as a Christian, that person might not like you, but you can still be a peacemaker. That doesn't mean this. Now that person got angry and says, you dumb Christians, you fanatical Bible thumpers, you know, and on and on. And what you can feel like is they're provoking you to fight. Now, if you fall for it and you say, oh yeah, you heathens, you this and that, you start calling them names, guess what? That's when you lost being a peacemaker. Or you can say, listen, I still love my gay sisters and brothers, you know, maybe they're not sister and brother, but I still love the people. But listen, I have to choose what the Bible says because I made a decision. I'm not somewhere between the world and God. Remember, see, I told you I was going somewhere. You see why purity in heart matters? Now, if you start hating people who live in that lifestyle, then you don't know God. You are somewhere in between. You are a religious person. We're called to love people. And we're called to pray for people. And we're called to ask God to show people the right way. But if you are hateful, if you're angry, if you attack people, listen, you don't know God yet. You're somewhere between cold and hot. You're lukewarm. Now, Pastor, wow, this is awkward. I feel awkward right now. We shouldn't talk about this. Well, if your pastors won't talk to you about this, who will? You think your politicians will? You think the movie stars will? That's our job. Listen, I would be a bad pastor if I didn't talk about this. But listen, even when you disagree with somebody, you can be a peacemaker. I disagree, but I'm not going to attack you. I'm not going to hate you. I'm no better than you. I just disagree with you because of what I believe. Now I'm going to pray for you that God would open your eyes, so you can come to the knowledge of truth as well. Amen.